Welcome. Welcome back. This is Sleep Unplugged. I'm Dr. Chris Winter, neurologist and sleep specialist. I'm happy you're here with me today. I appreciate you being a part of this new podcast that I'm really excited about. Really excited to talk about insomnia. That's going to be the topic today. The title, Insomnia, It's Not What You Think It Is, I think is the perfect way to describe this talk. And we'll talk a lot about insomnia during this podcast. I've got lots of episodes planned for it. But I think the way you treat insomnia, the way you get to the heart of insomnia is with an investment of time. It takes an understanding of the disorder to really appreciate how to move forward and frankly how to treat it. So I thought with this episode, we would start with definitions. I always think that's a great place to start when you're trying to fix something or treat something. Knowing exactly what you're treating, I think, is a great place to begin. And I wrote a whole book on this topic. The sleep solution, why your sleep is broken and how to fix it. And the whole project really began with me wanting to help the reader define what was going on with their sleep. Because once you've defined it, labeled it, you can then begin to explore and understand how you're going to move forward to treat it. So let's talk about a definition of insomnia. I will start by giving you the definition that most people would give you if you asked. In fact, I've done it. I actually sat outside some outdoor mall near the university where I live. And you know, school was in session. There's tons of people walking by. It was very easy to pick people off and say, hey, can I just ask you one quick question? What is insomnia? And the overwhelming response was something about an inability to sleep. Oh, it's when a person can't sleep. Can't sleep, inability to sleep. You know, can't sleep is absolutely my least favorite phrase in the English language. There's really nothing that irritates and upsets me more than seeing it, and it is everywhere. And I get it. It's sort of a expression. It's a way we communicate. It's almost a metaphor in a weird way. I can't sleep. It's like going to the doctor. What's going on? You know, what can I do for you? Oh my God, my throat's on fire. If you ask an individual, what do you mean when you say that? They're not going to tell you, I've literally got flames inside of my throat, doc, that I'm hoping you can put out. So when we say my throat's on fire, we know what we're talking about. You're talking about a very, very severe pharyngitis, sore throat. Unfortunately, when people say can't sleep and they use that improper, incorrect definition of insomnia, there are certainly some people. And I ask, this is standard procedure in my clinic when I see an adult or a child. Hi, I'm Chris. How can I help you today? Oh, doc, man, I'm so glad to see you. I cannot sleep. I haven't slept in years. My typical response to something like that is, when you say you can't sleep, what do you mean? Well, you know, I can sleep. I just have trouble getting to sleep, or I wake up a lot to pee at night and then I can't get back to sleep, is what some people will say. But there are plenty of other people who look at you like, what I mean is I can't sleep. In fact, I had a patient tell me one time, do you stutter? I said, what do you mean when you said you haven't slept in 6 months? Do I stutter? I didn't sleep for 6 months. I've had people tell me they haven't slept in 6 months. I've had people tell me they haven't slept in 9 months. I had a guy who lived in Germany for a period of time and said, I never slept the entire time I was there. And when you ask him, tell me more about that. What do you mean? He's like, I mean what I say. I would get in bed, stare at the ceiling, 7 to 8 hours would pass, and I would get out of bed and go about my day. And I did this for months and months and months. So that definition starts to become very important when we're defining insomnia, because when somebody says they can't sleep, they're talking about sleep deprivation. And the world record for sleep deprivation is a very interesting story. I'll paraphrase it here. It's held by Randy Gardner, who is a student at Stanford, who went 11 days without sleep. And this was part of an experiment. You can read all about it. It's all over the internet. It was kind of run by a guy named Bill DeMint, who was a doctor of sleep medicine out at Stanford, sort of the godfather of sleep in this country, according to many, myself included. Wrote a fantastic book called The Promise of Sleep. Met him on several occasions. Could not be a nicer guy. And I always kind of feel like everybody in sleep medicine traces their lineage back to Bill DeMint, you know, and the faster, the fewer steps that it takes, you know, the more distinguished you are. So I've always been, I worked under a guy named Don Blywise at Emory, who actually trained with Bill. And so I always felt like there was one little jump between myself and Don. In fact, I would be working at the Emory University Sleep Lab doing some research studies at night, and there'd be a call, 3 o'clock in the morning. You're sitting there studying your pathophysiology or pharmacology and running the sleep studies of some patient in the lab, and the phone rings in the lab at 3:30. It's a really eerie kind of thing. This is back before cell phones, all that good stuff. And so I'd walk back to Dr. Blauwe's office and pick up the phone. Hello? Is Don there? No, who is this? Oh, this is Bill DeMint. I had a great idea for a study that I thought maybe he would want to participate in. Just have him call me when he's in the office. He would hang up like, wait a minute, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning here in Atlanta, you know. So anyway, but if you talk to Bill DeMint about the Randy Gardner 11-hour sleep deprivation experiment, he would tell you it was a sham. Now, Randy Gardner didn't go 11 days continuously without sleep. He couldn't stop him from sleeping, these little micro sleeps. So yeah, he didn't get into bed and sleep for several hours, but you know, sleep's kind of like a runaway train. It's going to go where it wants to go. And if you're depriving yourself of sleep for just a short period of time, your brain's going to get very aggressive about getting it. So the idea that insomnia is not sleep deprivation, it's not an inability to sleep, is surprising to a lot of people. So if you look up the definition of, okay, well, it's not that, what is it? Well, if you look up the definition of insomnia, it's really about sleep difficulty. It's an individual who's having difficulty with their sleep. I like that word. I like vague words. I don't like to paint myself in any corner. I always want it out. So I like to speak in vague terms. I'll be there. I will be there at your party at some point in the future. I like that. I like that. I like that level of commitment in my life. So it's a difficulty in sleep. But it goes further than that. And what I mean by that is this. When you look at the definitions of insomnia, they're to some degree comical in the sense that they really heavily rely on time periods. Well, how many days have you had insomnia and for how long? And in a given week, how many nights of the given week will you have difficulty with your sleep? So it starts to become extremely academic. Which I always find to be incredibly unhelpful. I've never found any of that to be remotely useful in talking to a patient. You know, the definitions of, for instance, transient insomnia. It's an individual who's had difficulty sleeping for less than a week. How many people have come to my clinic with a transient insomnia? Zero. I mean, by the time you get an appointment in our clinic, you're way past transient insomnia. I mean, how many people have one night of difficulty sleeping out of the blue, you know, wake up the next morning, I've got to call a doctor. That was a rough night. Nobody. In fact, it kind of brings up the idea of who's getting insomnia. Lots of people get insomnia. It's almost part of the human condition. Who hasn't had transient insomnia? You know what I mean? You go to a dinner party, you know, and you meet somebody. I'm 61 years old. What do you do? I'm a sleep doctor. What about you? I'm in sales. Ever have any trouble sleeping? No. Actually, my 63 years, I've never had a night of difficulty sleeping in my life. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? I would really? Nothing? Night before your wedding? Night after your divorce? Like, nothing caused you to, even your kid on Christmas Eve or, you know, bad sporting out? You know, the worst night of insomnia I've ever had in my life, personally. This is embarrassing, but it's true. It's my father-in-law was a foreign service. He was living in Romania, doing all kinds of government stuff over there. And he and some friends over there in the expat community or whatever decided to be in a fantasy football league. And he was in, you know, and they were all betting their money or whatnot. And then he enlisted my help when I was a fellow. So it's been 2004. And he's like, look, Chris, I want you to be, you know, kind of helping me out on this team because you're living in the United States. You got your ear on the ground. You know what's going on with the NFL. So you can help us draft and make our lineups and whatnot because I really want to win this tournament. So needless to say, I got really into it. And we were actually doing really well. And I'll never forget the way fantasy football works, and correct me if it's changed since 2004, is that you pick a couple of players that are on your team, and you've only got, you know, I got Tom Brady on my team, and you've got Peyton Manning, and somebody else, whatever. And then depending on how well Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, how well they do in the game, you get points. So anyway, we had a ton of points going into this game against this other person and their players and their points. And the cycle ends every week. So at the end of the week, you count up your points your players got in their various games, and then that's the winner. Whoever's player collection has the most points. Well, we were winning big, and the only player this other team had playing that Monday night was Peyton Manning, and he had to score like 40 points to win the game. Well, needless to say, the game went into overtime. All these fluky things happened, and he did it. He scored a Herculean amount of points, and his team won. And so I turned the TV off at, you know, 1 a.m., whenever this nightmare of a marathon game ended, and I went to bed. And I was pissed and frustrated and felt like the rules of fantasy football were unfair, that you shouldn't be able to accumulate points during an overtime, you know, just whatever. And at some point, an hour later, I was still awake in bed. And I remember thinking to myself, am I really struggling to sleep because of the outcome of a fantasy football game? I mean, that's how activated and upset I was. And then the whole thing just kind of fed upon itself. But the subsequent night was fine, and don't really remember anything ever happening like that. So there's a great episode of transient insomnia. Something rough happened, tough night, never looked back, went on sleeping just fine. Acute insomnia is something that's going on less than a month and resolves, and chronic insomnia more than a month. In fact, the DSM definition of insomnia says basically it's something that's happening, three or more times per week and usually more than 3 months. I'm sorry, DSM is more than 3 months, and the definition of insomnia is it's happening three or more times. I mean, again, you can see how much I memorize these definitions because they're completely useless to me. You've come into my clinic, you sit down and you tell me, look, I am struggling, Chris. My sleep has always been good and the divorce has been rough and my sleep is just a disaster right now. I mean, there's several nights a week I can't even, how many nights? Is it three or more? Well, I don't know. Feels like it. Maybe it's only two. And well, if it's only two, you need to leave my office immediately. I mean, who says that? Nobody. But this is the definition we're talking about. We're talking about disruptions, disturbances in sleep that are happening with some degree of frequency. But you feel like there's something missing from the definition, I bet. And I'll give you a hint as to what it is. Let's all go to a dinner party, and we're going around mingling, and we come across a guy, and he says, hey, I heard you're a sleep doctor. Oh, man, I'd like to be on your podcast. I want to talk about my sleep sometime. Okay, great. Tell me about your sleep. Well, man, every night when I get in bed, it takes me at least 2 hours to fall asleep. The first question that I'm going to ask that person, whether they're in my clinic or at a dinner party, is, how do you feel about that? It takes you 2 hours to fall asleep every night. How do you feel about that statement? And if this guy that we've met at a dinner party says, oh, I love it. It doesn't, I don't mind it. I like being in bed awake. Then do we have a problem? Diagnostic manuals for insomnia often say no, that once you've established this time frame, can't fall asleep, can't stay asleep, wake up more than 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes, 3 times a week, whatever. That once you've established this, there has to be some degree of distress or disability or upset about it. Like you have to feel that there is a problem. Because if there's not, do I need to treat that person? Oh man, I can't have you sitting there enjoying yourself in bed. Come to my clinic on Monday. We'll get you fixed right up. No, of course you wouldn't say that. The flip side is a lot of definitions of insomnia, and we talk about insomnia. We can break it up in a million different ways. One way you can break it up is when does it affect you? It takes me 30 minutes to fall asleep, doc. Or I'll wake up, go to the bathroom, get back in bed. I could be up for an hour or two at that point. Or my alarm's set for 7:30, and I cannot sleep past 5. So we kind of talk about sleep onset insomnia, sleep maintenance insomnia, early termination, early awakenings. The conventional wisdom was, you know, back in the day, if a patient had trouble falling asleep, then they were depressed. I'm sorry, they were anxious. If a patient had difficulty with early morning awakenings, they were depressed. Sure, but not always. So these time frames, we've kind of put them down. It's taking you 40 minutes or longer to fall asleep 4 days a week, and this has been going on for 4 months. But the fundamental question is there disability? Is there distress? Is there angst? Is there upset? Because that is the teeth of insomnia. That's the definition of insomnia. In fact, somebody asked me one time, define insomnia with one word. And it's easy. It's fear. The condition only works if you fear it. So insomnia is not a person who can't sleep. Insomnia becomes an individual often who is fearful of being unable to sleep. And you can see this in patients all the time. And you know, doctors, as much as I give them grief for over prescribing medications, a lot of them are starting to understand that now, and they are pulling back on the medications. And so patients are coming saying, look, I was seeing this doctor, he's giving me these pills, and now she won't, so they made me come to see you. Listen, before you even start, doc, I can't sleep without my Ambien, Lunesta, Trazodone, Seroquel, Melatonin, Klonopin, CBD, whatever. So we can just make this really simple. Give me the drug because I can't sleep without it. So it begins. And for some people, it's easy. For other people, it's really tough. I told my publisher, the publisher of my first book, her name was Claire, and she's wonderful. Hello, Claire. I told Claire, look, I said, I'm glad you're excited about this book, but I'm going to tell you right now, the average Amazon rating of my book is going to be 2.5. And she said, why would you say that? And I said, because the book is either going to be given 5 stars by a reader, or it's going to be given 1 star. And what I meant by that was there's not a lot of middle ground when it comes to insomnia. When you read the 5-star reviews, and we'll do a segment on the review. I love the positive reviews of my book, but I also really like the negative reviews of my book. They're so illustrative, but we'll get to that in a later episode. But what I meant by that was when you read the positive reviews, you can see in their language what's happened. They've gotten a definition of insomnia and it resonated with them. It's like something in their brain just clicked and suddenly it all made sense. Oh my God, I've been taking sleeping pills for 20 years. I read Dr. Winter's book and it was gone. Thank you so much. Well, I didn't invent this. That's the sad thing about insomnia is we know what it is. We've got the cure. We just don't choose to talk about it or focus on it properly. It's not particularly sexy. It's not exciting. It's not dangerous. Being on the edge of madness, this woman tells her life story about her 20-year struggle with insomnia, sleeping only minutes a night, and the verge of, like, that's exciting. Wow, tell me more about this person. Versus, oh, wait a minute, you mean she was sleeping all the time? That really wasn't the problem? Well, sure it wasn't. And when you read the negative reviews, you can see the fear. Pull them up sometime, read them. You can just go right to my book, go right to reviews. You click, oh, I only want to read the 1-star reviews and just start reading them. What does that elicit in you? And if you're one of those people who feels that way, or if you're one of those people who left one of those reviews, I'm here for you. Every one of those 1-star reviews elicits the same response in me. I want to meet you. I want to have a latte or a beer with you, and I want to talk because we've got to start from the beginning about what your problem is. I don't care what you believe it to be. I don't care what doctors have told you or not told you over the past, what you've read in magazines. Put it all away. If I can get a patient to sort of open their mind, open their heart, not become defensive or angry or upset or frustrated or cheated, whatever those feelings are, I can get you to set those aside and just listen and really think about what we're talking about here. We can get you out from under this rock. So that's, I want to keep things relatively short tonight and really talk about, and I say tonight, I'm recording tonight from Atlanta, Georgia at the National School Association. It's School Nurses Association meeting. I'm going to talk to them tomorrow morning. And this is, if you're watching on the video, the background you see is Atlanta. I just really wanted to start there. I want this to be bite-sized. I want you to think about this. And I'll throw one more thing in there that complicates insomnia. So we've talked about it being sleep that isn't happening when and how you want it to. I think it's a much better definition than using a bunch of numbers and times and months and hours, et cetera. That's part A. Part B, you are frustrated by it. Part C, which is problematic, is only you get to determine part A and really part B. In other words, it would be difficult for me as a almost 50-year-old man to walk into my doctor and say, I need some prenatal vites, doc. Oh, why is that, Chris? Yeah, I'm pregnant. What do you mean? Well, my stomach's been sticking out a little bit more lately as I've gotten older, and I'm pretty sure it's because of pregnancy, and I'm just craving weird foods. And so I'm definitely pregnant. So you can just go ahead and give me those prenatal vitamins, and I'll be on my way. There's not a doctor in the world that's going to give a middle-aged man that looks like me prenatal vitamins for a pregnancy. There's probably going to be a lot of talk and definitions that come my way. Insomnia is different, isn't it? Insomnia, the patient gets to choose. And the third thing that's problematic with that definition is that perception of sleep and reality of sleep are really two different things. So when a patient talks about not being able to sleep for 6 months, being awake for hour upon hour during the night, it's often not entirely clear if that perception is reflective of reality. And that is what really makes the treatment of insomnia so unbelievably difficult, because it requires that doctor to say to that patient, "I am so sorry that you are struggling, but you are not going 6 months without sleep." That comment, which eventually has to be said, can be met with, "Well, I guess you're right. I mean, it doesn't really make sense that I would be shattering the sleep deprivation record of Randy Gardner at Stanford University." Or it can be met with a tremendous amount of hostility and frustration, anger. I had a patient tell me one time, "Don't tell me how much I sleep. You're not in bed with me." And I remember thinking at the end of that long, long, long session, thank God. Thank God. Because I'm not sure that we're going to make it to the end of this process. But we did. And we actually got her straightened out. And we can get anybody straightened out if they can listen and understand that I'm not here to tell you that you're not struggling. I'm not here to tell you that you're not dealing with a problem, which I think is what a lot of patients hear when you say, "Hey, I think you actually are sleeping." They hear you saying you don't have a problem. No, no, no. You got a big problem. It's just not the problem that you think it is. Thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about me or what I do, you can find them on my social media handles, Dr. Chris Winter. That's on Twitter and Instagram, DrChrisWinter. My books, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It, as well as The Rested Child, Why You're Tired, Wired Irritable Child May Have a Sleep Problem and How to Help, both available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible, Kindle, wherever books are sold. I hope you'll contact the show. Let me know what you think about it. Thoughts, feelings, reactions, praise, criticism, open to anything. And also ideas for future podcast episodes. Really want to hear what you guys are interested in talking about. And finally, like, subscribe, follow the podcast. It's available Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. I could make up a few names of things that host podcasts that sound like things that host podcasts, but I'm not going to do that. So please follow, like us, and tune in for our weekly episodes released on Monday. Thanks for very much for joining and being a part of Sleep Unplugged. Until we talk again, sleep well.